Well, I just want to say before we begin, we have begun, but you all look fantastic. You've made a real effort, and we do have visitors here. Jane's got a huge group of family over there. I think it's fair to say we don't always look like this, okay? We have made a special effort with it being Easter Day. Now, I'm going to need a little bit of audience participation right now. So there's a slide that will come up from time to time. And when it does, when you see it on the screen, I want you to say what it says, nice, loud and clear. Okay, so here it is. Shall we say that? Well, that changes everything. Wow, I was going to get you to practice again, but you've nailed it first time. Now, there's another phrase that's going to come up on the screen. And this is a phrase. When I lived in India, I heard this all the time. Yeah? And here it is. What to do? But I've spoken to some of our Indian folk here. They've never heard of this expression. So it was obviously just in my little bit of India. Because to me, this only makes sense with an Indian accent and a little sort of head thing. So anyway, so if you want to try that, okay? This is embracing Indian culture, okay? So I can't do an Indian accent, but let's just try it. Should we do that? What to do? What to do? Thank you, Becky. Well done. I knew you'd get it. Right. I need Ruth Edwards Grundy is going to come up for us. Thank you, Ruth. If you go and stand by that table. Did you have a wash this morning?
Yeah.
Broadly speaking, sort of.
I wash my hands.
You wash your hands? Well, that's brilliant. I'm glad you wash your hands, but I thought they could do with a little bit more washing, okay? Nothing personal. Does it matter if these stain permanently, these clothes? Sorry, good. Right. So I've got some lovely pink soap for you here, Ruth. So do you want to put your hands over the bin bag? Oh, okay. Right. Now, could you just give them a good sort of wash together? That's it. Ah, now we have a problem, don't we? Hang on, maybe you need a bit more. Hang on, a little bit more. Okay, do that again. Well, evidently this is not soap at all, is it? It's paint. And you've got a problem now. Is this water-based, this paint, by the way? Oh, I forgot to check that. So, what I think you should do is use one hand to clean the other, yeah? Use this hand and clean that one. Is that working for you? And then
not really.
It's not. So it's fair to say you can't clean yourself, isn't it? Okay, well, what to do? Now, what if I told you that very nearby I have a lovely bowl of warm water and some soap and a hand towel? What would we all say?
Well, that changes everything.
Sir, well, it was warm. There you go. There you are. A bit of washing up liquid, sorry. And go for it. I hope it works. Right, well, Ruth is going to clean very thoroughly and that. And should we give her a little round of applause? Right, Barney. Barney's coming up. Here he comes. Barney, I need to ask you, do you value being able to move your arms and legs? Is that important to you? Okay, well. Now, I know that Barney here he spends a lot of time with our chairs. He's very attached to the chairs. So I thought we should keep you forever close to them, Barney. So here we go, I've got a little lock here. And so, no, stand up. Don't be lazy. Young people of today, I don't know. So, any chance. Right, so you're a bit attached there. And I've also brought a lovely cooking pot from home. So could you hold that with, yeah. I'm just going to wrap this around this hand nice and tightly. Sorry, just bear with me here. Okay. Oh, hang on, that's a bit tight. Hang on. Can I get that through there? Okay. Right, one more. Whose guitar stand is this? Whose guitar is that, I should say? I need the guitar stand down, sorry.
All right,
sorry, Matt.
Totally
the guitar stand.
There we are.
Thank you. Okay, Barney. Right, we'll just, you know, for the sake of time, we're just going to, that's not going to work. There. We'll pretend you're locked to that
okay.
as well.
Okay.
You're not really. So, how do you feel?
Trapped.
Trapped. Actually, just a slight aside, if the fire alarm does go off, I think if Barney's family could come and say goodbye to him before they exit the building, that'd be really nice. This would not be a good moment for that to happen. Right. So, you're in a bit of a pickle. What to do? Now, Barney, once when I was your age, I padlocked my own father to a metal table. My mother and sister were there, and it was all very funny. Even my dad thought it was funny, until he asked for the key, and I said, I haven't got the key. I really didn't have the key, because I found the lock in the street, and I thought it'd be hilarious to padlock him to this table. Well, instead of taking his trousers off, which is what he should have done, he got a little bit angry, and he ripped the thing off, and he ripped the whole of his trousers. And my mum says, but I don't need to do that, okay? What if I told you that under some of the chairs here, we have a key and two combinations? Okay. What would we all say? Right. Could you have a look under your chair to see if you've got a key or a combination? Stuck underneath. Sarah, could you look under that? Oh, thank you. Got a key. Right. Stuart, there's a chair there with nobody sitting on it. Could you have a look under there? No? Further back. Yeah, have a look underneath. Yay! Wonderful. Yay! Yes, wonderful. Right. Bring it up. Now we got the key. Right, okay. That's the relief. I did have these numbers written elsewhere just in case it was a problem. Okay, so let's just undo this one because this. There you are, you're free from there. Okay, 4331. Hang on, let's just take that off. That's just not working, is it? I've got no idea which this one is, actually. It's that one. Okay, there we are. There you are, you're free. Yay! Yay, well done. Right. Finally, Joseph. Joseph Steen is coming up. Joseph, how old are you?
I'm 14.
You're 14. How tall are you? Oh, man. Why didn't I pick a smaller person? Okay. So, Joseph, we trust and pray that you have a long life ahead of you, okay? And we don't really know what will happen in your life, but I just want a little guess, okay? Now, you're studying at school at the moment.
Yeah.
Right, I think we can be pretty confident in saying you will do your GCSEs. I'm pretty sure you've gone to your A-levels. And I think you'll go to university, okay? Not Oxford, because nobody wants to be lectured by their dad. But you might get somewhere similar, but not quite as good. And then one day, you will pass your exams, and you'll have the great joy of looking like this. There you are. This is a very proud moment. For Andrew and Emma, a little tear in Emma's eye, I see. Yeah. Well done. He did very well. Very good. But after that, you'll probably get a job. And you'll realize that although the study was important to get the job, that actually now the study is really largely irrelevant. And you won't wear these anymore except for fancy dress parties and occasionally in church on Easter Sunday. So you'll get your job and then you will meet someone perhaps, hopefully, and you'll fall in love and you'll get married. And then after about 15 years, when you've saved up a deposit for a house, you'll buy a house. And then it will suddenly, you will realize how much work is involved in running a house, because you're going to be doing a lot of washing up. There you are. Very good. You're a pro at that. And it's going to need, this house is going to need a lot of painting. There you are. And you thought it was good to have a big garden, and when you've got a big garden, you realize it's not a good thing at all, is it? It's a pain in the neck. So you invest in some serious books from the Royal Horticultural Society. Right. And then, perhaps, in this life of yours that you may lead, you'll have kids. So you have a child. There you are. And then you'll have another child. And then you'll think, well, I am at HBC, so you'll have a third child. And then you'll have a fourth child. And this is the one that's going to cost you a car, okay? So there you are, four children. But the good news is that your children will get bigger, okay? So that's all right. So there's soft landing over there, okay? So. And they'll get bigger. Well done. Now you've got your hands full, haven't you? But you see, in a moment of complete mental insanity, for some reason you can't understand, you decide that this is a good time to get a dog as well. Okay? Growing up's not worth it, is it? Let's face it. But the good news is, Joseph, that the children will get bigger and they will leave home. Hold the dog, would you? They'll all leave home. They'll go to university themselves, I'm sure. And around the time they go to university, the dog will die. And that's good, because you planned it that way. Yeah. And then you'll get into middle age, and you'll invest in trousers like this, which can expand and contract annually. So they fit you in all the seasons of the year, okay? And you'll suddenly realize one day when you go to the hairdressers that they don't ask you anymore if you'd like your hair thinning. That just doesn't happen, that conversation. And as you get older, you'll find you sit down a lot with your hot chocolate. Oh, you became a pastor, well done. And you'll wear your slippers. And thank you. And what you'll find is you'll gradually get more and more horizontal. You'll get more and more horizontal, which is a sort of a preparation. And then one day, probably, not necessarily, you will die. Okay? And I've got a little black t-shirt here. Perhaps you can put the t-shirt on now. I'm sorry. Sorry, Andrew and Emma. But this represents... There's no washing up in after death, don't worry. Maybe... That's it. Thank you. That's one blessing, at least. So... So, your deed, as they say in Scotland. Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. He can't hang around here. He's gone. So, sure. Poor Joseph, eh? Alas, poor Joseph. We knew him. Well, what did he really achieve in his life? All those things he did, all that effort, all that work, but what did he really gain at the end? What to do? Does death not call into question everything we work for, everything we strive for? Is it not the final mocker that says, what was the point of it all? Is that not what death is? Death is, even? Or maybe there's something else. You're back. He's back. What do you mean you're back? You've risen. Yay. Thank you. He's risen, and I think therefore we can say, well, that changes everything. You know, the Bible tells us that we are all made dirty by sin, aren't we? We've all got our hands dirty, and Ruth was trying to, like, clean her own hands, and she couldn't do it, of course, because they were all dirty. But what we celebrate today is that through the cross of Jesus, the crucifixion, and through his resurrection, that we have been washed clean of all of that mess, all of that sin. And like Barney over there, you know, we were chained by sin, chained to sinful habits that basically slowly destroyed us. And the consequences of that sin, God's judgment and death and so on, destruction. But through the cross and the resurrection, we have been, God has broken us free from those chains. Jesus is, if you like, he's the key. The resurrection is the key that unlocks that bondage in us. And unless Jesus returns first, one day we're all going to die. But Jesus has been raised from the dead, and so we can have new life too. Sounds a bit twee, but it's not a hopeless end for us, but an endless hope. We will rise. I don't know if you've seen this. Thanks to Stephen and Lynette for sending me this, but there's a church in the north that ordered a banner for Christmas saying, "Christ is risen," and that's what they got. The printers forgot the T. Every cloud has a silver lining. They didn't have to pay for it. And ironically, the vicar was called Chris. But I like this because my name's Chris too. But there is a truth here for me and for all of us that the Bible says that we are risen. Now, I know we're not in heaven yet, but our resurrection life, if we are Christians, has already begun. Our spirits have been raised, they're made anew, and one day at death, our bodies will also be redeemed and raised, and we will experience a full resurrection. So we could have a banner for all of us this morning. Ruth is risen, Barney is risen, Joseph is risen. Here's a verse. Can we read this together? If only for this life we have hope. You know, I'm going to finish in a moment, but what I want to leave you with is, as Christians, let's make sure that the resurrection is a truth that is real to us. Let's not pay lip service to it. It's very easy to pay lip service. Oh, yeah, I believe in the resurrection. But, you know, it's beyond our experience, isn't it? But let's grasp this truth. Indeed, it says, indeed, Jesus has been raised. And indeed, we too will be raised. We need to hold on to that because that is what the Christian faith is about. Christian faith without the resurrection is nonsense. It's a waste of time. It's only with the resurrection and that firm belief that our faith makes sense. And that is the future that God has for us. We haven't seen it yet. We can only imagine. But that's what God has done for us in Christ. And so I think in the light of all of that, I think we can say together, well, that changes everything. Now, what I'd like you to do, we've got a final song in a few moments, but first I'd like you to just turn to the people around you, and a couple of questions here you can just quickly chat about. What does Jesus' resurrection say about who he is and what he achieved at the cross? And what difference does it make to you that you will also be raised to new life? And when you've talked for a couple of minutes, just pray for one another that you yourself can have a deeper understanding and a more profound excitement about the resurrection. And as you do that, because it's a bit of a party, we're going to bring some snacks out, some cocktail sausages and some savory bites, okay? So just take a moment with those around you, chat about the resurrection and pray for one another. Thank you.